Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, and there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget all the other things you can do there at Small Business Heaven, jbsba.com. Peter Meyer is our guest and our good friend. He's the president of the Meyer Group, which is an organization that helps businesses grow beyond their wildest imaginations. He helps them do that without losing their sanity, which, as you know, can happen sometimes, and without creating a casualty list. That's one of the things I like about Peter. He's the author of a couple of books that are my favorites, Warp Speed Growth and Creating and Dominating New Markets. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. This growth thing, Peter, is an interesting phenomenon, isn't it? I mean, it's a good thing that can be a bad thing, isn't it?
Well, people can let it go out of control, and when they do, then it becomes something that is driving them instead of them driving it. And one of the purposes of being in business is to have a good time, not to go crazy. So let's have a good time at it.
Or to hurt somebody. But, you know, you and I both seen people literally grow themselves right out of business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They put the idea of growing sometimes ahead of the idea of taking care of their customer, taking care of themselves. And growth by itself is, like any other tool, not the point.
Mm-hmm.
Really want to move beyond that.
One of the things I like to do is talk to people about making sure that they have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the ways to do that is by focusing on the fundamentals of operating a business. And that's one of the things you help us with when you join us. And one of the things you've been working on lately is something you call optimization audits. I'd like for you to tell us what that means.
Be happy to. This is something that Jay Abraham, who you may know of, Scott created. He and I were working on it for the large corporate market. And the idea is very simple. There's a lot of assets that every business has, whether it be small or large, that we simply have not taken advantage of. So when we take a look at where we want to put our investment, both time, and people, and money, into the next project, we often look to go out and get something that we don't yet have to make it happen. Sometimes it makes more sense to look at the assets we already have and have already paid for and have already invested in and use those instead, but in a different way.
Including people?
Including people.
Mm-hmm.
People may have skills and abilities that we are not tapping very well, and if we were to tap them in a different way, it might help us open a whole new market. It might help us get to a whole place where we weren't before, all without having to go out and get more people.
One of the things that I may have, without realizing, encouraging people to do some of this was by encouraging them whenever they need to grow in a certain area. It's, you know, in the old management models, you hired more people and you bought the equipment to support those people.
Mm-hmm.
In the 21st century, I think our best bet, and I think what small business owners are doing pretty good job of these days, is finding the technology to do that work and hiring the people to support the technology. Is that part of an optimization audit?
I think the way you'd look at it is you'd say, well, what is it that our customers want that we can use that technology to help them get? And look at the technology as a tool, not as an end in and of itself, but as a tool, as in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, okay, what do we need to do to make this tool work without having to put more money than we already have or put new people into it, but use existing people? And technology is a good lever for that, but there are other levers as well. The key thing, though, is to understand what you already have as an asset that is being underutilized.
So the optimization audit would really make you focus, get you to focus on not buying anything new, but seeing, you know, let's take an inventory of what we have, and if it may be used poorly, it may be used ineffectively, it may be underused or improperly used or whatever, and that could be people or other assets.
Absolutely, because your assets are intellectual property. Your assets are your very, very best people, including yourself. your assets, the technology you've already invested in, and, of course, your customers are a wonderful asset.
Hmm.
And they all have things, attributes, capabilities that you've not yet tapped that maybe you should.
Customers, that's a very interesting thing. See, I bet most people listening, if they were contemplating their assets, they were contemplating auditing their operation to see what they could tap into a little bit more effectively, I bet most of us wouldn't have said customers. And what we're going to do when we come back after these messages, we're going to get Peter to help us conduct an audit of our small businesses to optimize the assets that we have, including our people, which includes us, including our fixed assets, including our intellectual property, which I really like for us to start focusing on more, and our customers. Tony Taylor, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Peter Meyer. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Peter Meyer. And Peter is going to help us understand how to conduct an optimization audit. Peter, help us get that going.
Well, the concept is very simple, and then I'll tell you how you can get a copy of an article with much more detail.
Oh, that'd be great.
One is just being published now. The concept is simple. If you go fishing for your business to improve, you tend to... Well, at least I tend to often put out one or two hooks with bait on and then do my very best to bring all the fish to those hooks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fish don't always want the exact bait I toss out, and it doesn't cost a lot more to take another hook and toss it out at the same time and see what happens. And maybe
with a different kind of bait on it.
Yeah. My bait box is full of all kinds of stuff I'm just not using here,
mm-hmm.
because my mind model has always been that I'm going to stick in one direction only. Well, maybe it makes sense to look at what might be better bait. What have I got in the bait box I haven't used yet in this area? And why not give it a try? What's the cost of putting one more hook out there when I'm already in the pond or in the ocean?
What would be an example of another kind of a bait that we could put out? What would be a real-life business example?
Well, here's one of the questions in the audit. Is our distribution channel buy other products that we could control and sell with our products package? If our customers are buying from us today and they're buying something else that's similar, that our channel that's being sold to people who already work with us, is there a way we can take advantage of that,
mm-hmm.
and put together a package that helps our customer more? Same time, it helps us.
Mm-hmm.
Because when people buy things, they buy a whole bunch of things together. We know that from retail. That's why there's so many different things you buy in Starbucks.
I mean, right.
Tranium games are not exactly part of your coffee, but people buy them at Starbucks because people come in looking for relaxation. Well, our customers come to us looking for a specific sense or feeling or desire that's above and beyond the one or two products we sell them. How hard would it be for us to make an offer through our distributors or through our suppliers that allows us to experiment with one more thing on top of that?
When I was a full-time business consultant, there were a lot of things that I knew how to do that I did for my customers specifically.
Yep.
And I did them myself. But as my business evolved, I realized that there were things that my customers wanted me to do, my clients wanted me to do that I didn't know how to do. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, I didn't offer to do those, help them with those things. And then all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, they trust me, they're comfortable with me. They didn't say to me, Jim, you do this. They said, Jim, you get this done. And so I wound up being the coordinator of other consultants, bringing them in to do the things that they knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was new business for me.
And it was good for your customer, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Oh, no, that was exactly what they wanted. But I had to think about it. I mean, it wasn't that intuitive for me at the very beginning. I had to do this little audit you're talking about.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's not the sort of thing you do automatically. The 20 questions in this article that are the beginning of the audit, and we'll... You know, some questions you look at, you say, oh, of course I do that. Other questions you look at, you say, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And if out of the 20 questions, one question causes
right.
you to go, wow, I never thought of that.
Right.
There, it's been worth all the time it took you to read the article.
Before we move on to the next point of the audit, how can they, you offered to give us the article. I didn't ask for it, but you offered to. How can we get it?
I did. And the article is not yet published. It'll be out from Sales and Marketing Excellence sometime in the next few weeks, but If any of your listeners want to send me an email, I'll get them a PDF copy of the article right away.
Oh, okay. Great. Man, I appreciate that. And how would they...
Of course.
Give us the email address, Peter.
The email address is simple. It's Peter at MEYERGRP.com.
It stands for Meyer Group, MEYERGRP.com.
Right.
All right.
And simply say, article from Jim's show.
Okay.
And I'll pop an email right back to you.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate that very much. And folks, please take advantage of this. This is serendipity. This could be what Peter has to offer you. And I know enough about his work to know that what he's offering you right now could make the difference in your 2004. Okay, Peter, let's take the next step in our audit now, our optimization audit.
Once you decide that you're going to take the questions and you run them through yourself and your team, then you're going to wind up with a whole bunch of answers that require a little more thinking. But you'll also wind up with an idea that says, you know, I have this asset. I have this idea that I've never used. And a lot of the assets, which you sort of tapped on for a second, are assets that are not physical. Now, people are good assets, but so are ideas.
Right.
And my guess is that most of our listeners today have ideas they've never used, because our people tend to be very bright. They wouldn't be listening to you if they weren't bright, would they?
That's right.
Very bright and very good at thinking of new things to do. Well, those ideas could be assets that could be tapped using this audit.
Well, and, you know, Peter, you may have seen an article that I wrote recently about the journey of intellectual property.
Yeah.
The title from Journey of Intellectual Property from Memories to Megabytes. And in that article, I talk about some research that was conducted that showed in the last 20 years the ratio of our fixed assets to intellectual property assets have literally reversed from 80-20 fixed to intellectual to now 80-20 intellectual to fixed. It's happening in corporations all the time. So we really have to, small business owners have to realize that. And then sometimes we have to look around us to see, to really identify and to place a value on intellectual property that we either are using, aren't appreciating, or we're not using it properly.
And that intellectual property value that we have is not something you necessarily need to put on your books, but boy, it's a way to improve your books.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, a lot of it, you know, some big companies are more likely to have patents and trademarks and things like that, which we can have, but typically more big businesses are more likely to have those than we are. But that doesn't mean that small business owners don't have intellectual property that's valuable and that is not only can make a difference to our businesses, but it is making a difference to our businesses. We just have to recognize it. And that's one of the things this audit, I think, will help you with. Tim Till, we'll be right back with our good friend, Peter Meyer. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Peter Meyer. Peter, give us your website again, please.
The website is MEYERGRP.com. And feel free to send me a note if you want just by putting Peter at MEYERGRP.com. Send me a note because I'd like to hear from people.
And he'd like to send you a PDF of this article on optimization audits, which I really encourage you folks to check out. If you really want to do what Mark Mayberry and I talked about in the previous segment about going for the gold, one of the ways to do that is by following up on these kinds of offers that Peter has just made us. I really encourage you to check that out. And that's Peter at MEYERGRP.com, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now give us a couple of more thoughts on this optimization audit, and then I think you want to. Then we'll talk. We'll wrap up the hour by talking a little bit about doing business overseas. Go ahead.
Well, it's a pleasure to do so. The when Jay Abraham put this concept together and started to test it, what he was looking for is a way to find information in people that they tend to skip over. So that means uncomfortable questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the 20 questions you'll find in this article that's being published next week or two will be questions that will make you oh, I don't really want to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you in the privacy of your own office with your best people can sit down and say, okay, let's deal with it anyhow.
All bets are off. Nothing sacred. Whatever comes to mind is okay. We're gonna We're going to, this may seem uncomfortable, but we're going to deal with it and see what, we're going to put it on and see if it fits any way possible.
Yeah. Jay refers to that as making you uncomfortable and loving at the same time. And it really is how it feels sometimes. I know I need to do this. I know I'm going to love the end result, but boy, I don't like the middle part.
Well, think about, I know you're a biker. You ride your road bike out on the, your bicycle out on the road. Peter, and you know the old saying, no pain, no gain. If you want to get in shape, if you want to be able to ride 100 miles on a bicycle, at some point in time, you got to pay a price for that, don't you?
And what's interesting about that analogy is that when I first learned to ride a bike, when I was, before I was 10 years old, there was a certain amount of discomfort of getting up on that bike and falling off that bike and the training wheels off. And now I don't think about it.
Yeah.
But if I'd let that discomfort stop me, I couldn't ride 100 miles a day.
Right. And we got to think about that in our small businesses.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, Peter, the marketplace is becoming a lot more sophisticated. And it's becoming more sophisticated for all of us, including small business owners. We can't be sleepy little mom and pops anymore, can we? We've got to reach out and embrace the marketplace, not just wait on it. If we wait on the marketplace to come to us, we won't like what it brings us, will we?
I tend to think that if we forget that people wise up and move on and get smarter every day, we'll suddenly find ourselves without customers.
Right.
You know, if people didn't move on, there'd still be a great big market for buggy whips.
That's right.
And we could have digital buggy whips with internet connections on them. They just
battery operated.
That's right. They don't sell for beans today.
That's right. And we've got to realize that those customers you've been talking about, Peter, are not just across town, are they, anymore?
No, they're all over the world. And they're all wanting stuff that we may not have produced in the past but could produce today. And we always have the option of either driving by looking at the rearview mirror or driving by looking out the front window by saying, you know, I want to sell what I've always done in the past, or I want to use this auto process and sell stuff that I've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
I want to move forward.
And you used the word produce, and I want to add another word, because sometimes produce makes people think that you make it. I'd like to say you produce or provide.
Sure enough.
Because provide opens up a whole new world of possibility, doesn't it?
Absolutely does. And that's part of what the auto will bring to people is the idea that they can provide stuff that they don't produce, to use your words.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
You have a quote from Bastiat, did you say?
Well, I had a story that a gentleman named Bastiat wrote about.
You got about 30 seconds.
How to look forward and so forth. And what he said was that a bunch of candle makers were having a really hard time trying to convince the government that they should be protected from a new market that was being created by somebody else. They wanted protection because their candles weren't selling well every day from dawn on. They wanted dawn to be stopped to protect their market. The government did not do what they wanted. You can't stop progress. You have to stay ahead of it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's a great story from Frédéric Bastiat, I call him the great French economist and comedian, Peter, because he was a lot of fun. Hey, Peter, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you very much.
Give us your website again. I want people to know how to find more about you.
MeyerGRP.com, and thank you.
Please check that website out, folks. It's an important one in the future of your company. Thanks, Peter. See you later.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Let's have a great 2004 together. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.